You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us on Thursday right after the early Dodgers-Pirates series finale to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, flying solo today. Vince had himself a little migraine headache, and so he had to get some sleep. So I'm going to do this episode today. Happy to do it. The Dodgers beat the Pirates 5-3 in their series opener. A lot to talk about with the game, and then also want to talk a little bit about something I saw on Twitter the other day. It was from Robert Murray talking about Keston Hira of the Brewers, but a comment that another Brewers player made about the difference between AAA and the big leagues. So I'm going to talk about today's game or Tuesday's game and then that. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So early in the Dodger-Pirates game, second batter of the game for the Pirates. Pirates rookie Ke'Bryan Hayes, who is essentially just like the best baseball player in history or something. He had a home run to right field off of Walker Buehler, and the Dodgers challenged it. And it was one of the, you know, Joe and Oral normally do a really good job of broadcasting a game from Dodger Stadium, just watching on monitors. This time it was Joe and Nomar, and they do a really good job. But Joe has mentioned that one of the challenges is you can only see what the monitor shows you. And part of being a broadcaster is looking around at the rest of the field. And so when the Dodgers challenged this home run by Ke'Bryan Hayes, we just assumed, okay, maybe they think it was foul. It hit off the foul pole. But it pretty clearly hit off the foul pole. You could actually hear it gonging the foul pole. And so there wasn't much question. And they went to replay. And a lot of us were thinking, why in the world are they wasting a challenge on this? And then, you know, they take the headsets off and we're like, okay, are they going to call home run or are they going to call foul? And what they called was out. And we were like, what in the world? And it turns out if you had been watching the Pirates broadcast, you would have known what was going on, because apparently right before the Dodgers challenged the home run, they first appealed to first base and didn't get the call they wanted. So then they challenged. And so what they were challenging was Ke'Bryan Hayes missed first base as he was rounding the bases. He was watching the ball. He was hustling because he wasn't sure if it was gone. He kept hustling because just in case they had called it not a home run. So he was hustling until he saw the home run call, but he just missed first base. And and it turns out it was Austin Barnes in the Dodgers dugout who saw it. And on the bench, it kind of brings up, what's the role of a backup catcher? Maybe, because when you're sitting on the bench, you're watching the game. And what was happening in the game right then was the ball going over the fence. And so I think most of the eyes in the ballpark were on that, and including the first base umpire. His job, he has to get down the line and call that fair or foul on that play. And so whether Hayes touches the base or not becomes a call for the home plate umpire. And the way he missed, he stepped on the outfield side of the base, and there was no way for the home plate umpire to see that. So it's not surprising that they didn't call him out just on the appeal from the Dodgers. But you know, it, your eye just naturally follows the ball. But for whatever reason, Austin Barnes was watching to see if Ke'Bryan Hayes touched first base. And I wouldn't be surprised if today, if they do get Austin Barnes on Zoom or something and ask him, why were you watching that? Is there, Is that something you watch normally on a home run? Do you make sure a guy touches the base? Did you just happen to be looking? You know, because I would be really interested to hear Barnes's mindset, what his thought process is. But whatever it was, he saw Hayes miss the base, and he clearly missed the base. He missed it by 3 inches, you know, and Barnes saw that. So he said, no, let's challenge this. And the Dodgers challenged it, and they got out of it. Hayes was out, and instead of a 1-0 lead for the Pirates, it was the second out. Buehler ends up getting through that inning on 9 pitches and didn't allow a run at all in his 7 innings of work. And so, you know, there was so much going on in that. Barnes's role, the difference between broadcasting a game from in the stadium and from a monitor 3,000 miles away, so much going on, but it was really, really, it was a fun play. And it was almost like a little bit of intrigue for us. You know, we're wondering why they're challenging it. And like I said, we're expecting either foul ball or home run, and we're definitely expecting home run call after watching the replay and knowing for sure it hit the foul pole. But to have them come out with an out call, it was just like, wait, I know a lot about baseball and I don't understand what just happened, until they then showed the replay of him missing the base and it all made sense. It was just a really fun baseball play, I guess. You know, obviously not fun for Pirates fans or for Key Brian Hayes. He's going to have plenty of home runs, I'm sure. But just for, well, there's something you don't see every day. That it was really fun. It was also kind of funny that after Hayes' first 2 at-bats, he had a home run and a single, and yet he had made 2 outs because the home run was ended up being called an out, and then he singled, but then got thrown out at second base trying to tag up on a fly out to left. AJ Pollock threw him out. So it's not every day that you can hit a home run and a single in your first 2 at-bats and still somehow make 2 outs, but Key Brian Hayes managed to do that, so that was kind of cool. The other thing about the game, offense, or, you know, one of the things I want to talk about, the Dodgers, they scored 5 runs, and those 5 runs came on, in order, an RBI double from A.J. Pollock, an RBI triple from Mookie Betts, an RBI single from Max Muncy, those were all in the same inning, and then a 2-run homer by Chris Taylor, which means they RBI'd for the cycle, which is not a thing, but I wish it was, and mostly I wish there was an easy way to figure out how often that happens, because I'm sure it's not super often that you drive in runs with a single, a double, a triple, and a home run in the same game. You know, it's not all that rare for a team to have a single, double, triple, and homer all in the same game. I looked, and just this year, there have been like 114 games in which a team had all 4 of those kinds of hits and scored at least 4 runs. So, you know, it's possible that it happened in some of those, but it seems unlikely that all of those would actually drive in runs. Not many singles drive in runs. You know, some do, obviously. But I wish there was an easy way to look it up. But if there is, I haven't found it yet. So if you have any ideas on how to look that up, let me know, because I would be interested to see how rare that is. It's just something I happened to notice during the game. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about Walker Buehler's part of the game and give a little bit of update on some news things. And then later, I'll talk about Max Muncy too, and then later we'll talk about the AAA versus the Major Leagues discussion. So keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room was the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Dodgers and all your other favorite sports teams. Vince and I host a room for Locked On Dodgers once a week. You can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to join conversations around the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You can chat with us every week and might even have a chance to be featured on Locked On Dodgers through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join us this week. We will go live on Locker Room this Thursday, immediately after the Dodgers wrap up their series with the Pirates. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. We know you won't want to miss it. We can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Dodgers. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients, Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 different flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, so you can use your FSA cards to purchase Lucy now. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. And because Lucy lozenges and gums are FSA and HSA eligible, you can spend pre-tax dollars on them. Locked On Dodgers listeners, go to Lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's Lucy.co and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Go to Lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONMLB. All right, I'm back. What do we have to talk about? Walker Buehler. In a way, he looked great, and in a way, it was kind of a weird Walker Buehler outing. He pitched 7 shutout innings. Like I said, after getting the reprieve on Hayes' home run, Buehler didn't allow a run. He after the homer and then got out of a bases loaded jam in the second inning that was partly the result of his defense. After that, he pitched very efficiently. He got through 7 innings on just 93 pitches, and he probably could have gone another inning. But with a 5-run lead, Dave Roberts decided, okay, let's turn it over to the bullpen, to Joe Kelly and Nate Jones. Kelly allowed 1 run, but overall looked decent. Jones got 2 outs in the 9th inning, but he allowed 2 home runs. So Kenley Jansen ended up having to come in. He shut things down, got a 3-pitch strikeout to earn the save. The crazy thing was Walker Buehler only had 2 strikeouts in those 7 innings, which obviously helps keep the pitch count down. And it's not the first time this year we've seen him. I think I saw that's his 5th start this year with 4 strikeouts or fewer, which is very un-Walker Buehler-like. He's also had some high strikeout games. But, you know, he looked good. He had a lot of soft contact, had pretty good command. And overall, you know, it's not a bad thing to throw fewer pitches. Strikeouts take more pitches most of the time. And so, you know, after Buehler's last start last week, he said that he... It was the game when the Dodgers blew out the Cardinals. Buehler, after the game, he talked about how he likes to, you know, he basically looks at 15 pitches per inning. So that gets him through six innings on 90 pitches or 7 innings on 105. This time he got through 7 on 93. So he easily could have gone. If he's thinking, oh, 105 isn't that much of a problem, he could have come back out for the 8th inning and might have if the game was closer. Maybe not, though. But, you know, overall, it's not really anything to be concerned about. They didn't get many strikeouts because he was throwing hard. He had good stuff. He just, whether it's not going for strikeouts or just one of those days where he was getting more weak contact than swing and miss, I'll take weak contact and 7 innings from Buehler every time he pitches, even if he doesn't get many strikeouts. And I do think it's hard to picture him having fewer than 2 strikeouts in a game. He's just, you know, he's going to have more almost by accident. Other stuff in the game, Max Muncy was back in the lineup. He went 2 for 5, and he hit the ball hard. You know, he popped up in the 1st inning, and then he struck out looking at what should have been ball 3 in the 3rd inning. But after that, his next 3 at-bats, he had exit velocities of 100.7, 105.9, and 102.4 for 2 hits and a deep flyout. It was good to see him back in the lineup. He was at first base. I think with the ankle, it seems like they want to keep him at first base for a little while. I think he's probably not 100%, but they wanted his bat back in there in the lineup and figured, yeah, he could play defense and hit without injuring it worse. Dave Roberts said before the game that Muncy would most likely have Wednesday off, partly just to give his ankle a little break, but also because Tyler Anderson is pitching for the Pirates. He's a left-handed pitcher. Albert Pujols is very good against lefties still, so it makes sense to give Pujols the start. And if Muncy was up for playing second base, maybe he would be in the lineup at second. But, you know, all things considered, it makes sense to give him that day off, and then he'll be back in for the day game on Thursday. But it was good to see Muncy back and hitting the ball hard. He had been in a little bit of a slide, I think, like 0 for his last 14 or something coming into the game. So to get a couple of hits, including an RBI single, hit the ball hard three times, it was good to see. Other stuff around the league, the Giants won, but the Padres lost. So the Dodgers are now, I think, half a game behind the Padres and three games behind the Giants. It's kind of interesting. The Padres have played three more games than either the Dodgers or the Giants. Just kind of interesting to have that big a gap at this point in the season. But, you know, the Giants keep winning. They beat the Rangers. They came back and beat them. Padres kind of got blown out by the Cubs. So hopefully... Hopefully the Giants can start losing a little bit. Obviously, the Dodgers just need to take care of their business. If the Dodgers win, you know, 10 of the next 12 games, they're going to be in good shape because chances are both the Giants and Padres are going to come back to earth a little bit. So Dodgers just need to play their game and things will be okay. The one other bit of news, Tony Gonsolin will be activated to start today against the Pirates, which means that requires a 40-man roster move because Gonsolin has been on the 60-day injured list, so not using up a 40-man roster spot. So they need to open up a 40-man roster spot for him. Dave Roberts said before the game on Tuesday that Scott Alexander probably won't be activated until maybe it was after the game. I don't remember. I get thrown off on these East Coast games, forget when things were said. But he was asked about Scott Alexander. He said Alexander probably won't be activated until early July. And if you look at the dates, Scott Alexander last pitched on May 1st, which means if they transferred him to the 60-day injured list, he would be eligible to come off in early July. So it seems like that's probably the likely move to make room for Gonsolin on the 40-man roster is to just transfer Alexander to the 60-day. That way they can kick that decision can down the road a couple more weeks. And at that point, you know, who knows what happens after that on the 40-man roster, whether there's another 60-day injured list guy to move over or they actually have to make a move. But at this point, seems most likely that that's what's going to happen. I think that's all the news. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about what Robert Murray wrote about the big gap between AAA and the majors. Robert wasn't talking about the Dodgers, but I'm going to talk about the Dodgers and how that might relate to them. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, do you like things that taste good? I bet you do. Do you like things that taste good and aren't bad for you so you don't have to feel guilty? Well, check it out. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's just, you know, every bar they have is healthy and delicious. And it's crazy they could do this. They've got a ton of different flavors. I think 9 flavors right now available. All of them have chocolate. They all have, you know, 17 or 18 grams of protein, between 130 and 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs. They're high fiber, high protein. So they're great whether you're doing keto, you're just trying to lose weight, trying to build muscle, anything. You just want a healthy snack. You just sometimes you normally grab a handful of M&Ms and instead you want something a little bit healthier. Grab a Built Bar. They're so good. And if you go to builtbar.com, you can use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so Robert Murray, a good friend of mine, he and I used to work together at Baseball Essential. Great kid, not a kid anymore, he's like 25 now, but I've known him since he was a kid. Great guy, writes for FanSided now, and he was writing, talking about the struggles of Keston Hiura of the Brewers, and he quoted an anonymous teammate of Hiura's on the Brewers who said, "The environment in the big leagues now, everything is hard on hitters. Never been a bigger gap between AAA and the big leagues. So that didn't really help him on what he needs to do to succeed here consistently." And I thought that was interesting. Vince and I were talking about this, how we wonder if that's true. Is there really that big a gap? You know, Why would that be? You know, we've talked a lot the last couple of days about the sticky stuff. We do know that minor league baseball is cracking down harder on sticky stuff than major league baseball is. And, you know, even at minor league pitchers might just not be as good at using that stuff. So that might be part of it. Major league pitchers might just be better at using the sticky stuff. And so guys come up to the big leagues and they're seeing movement on pitches that they've never seen before because the spin rates are significantly higher. You know, so that could be part of it. Obviously, there's better pitching in the major leagues. But I don't see any reason why there would be more better pitching than there always has been. You know, it's always been the case that guys in the major leagues are, in general, better than guys in the minor leagues. And so why would it be such a bigger gap if it wasn't about the sticky stuff? So I don't know for sure why that would be. I might actually shoot Robert a text and ask him if his anonymous source has any thoughts on why the gap is so big. But, you know, so maybe that'll be a conversation for another day. But just if we take that at face value, that the gap is bigger than ever, what does that mean for guys like Luke Rayly, DJ Peters, Sheldon Noisy, guys who we know have had success in AAA? I mean, Luke Rayly has raked since he went back to Oklahoma City. He is hitting the ball really well, but he looked terrible most of the time with the Dodgers. DJ Peters looked terrible with the Dodgers, Sheldon, but we know that he's had success in the minor leagues before. Sheldon Noisy, same thing. So, you know, is this really the case? And is that why? And, you know, if it is related to the sticky stuff, if MLB really cracks down, does that give a little bit of hope for guys like Rayly and Peters who, you know, if they come back up and see movement that is more like what they were seeing in the minor leagues, are they going to be more successful? You know, DJ Peters, he was struggling on those high fastballs. Well, some of the sticky stuff benefit is the higher spin rate on your four-seam fastball, which gives it more of a rising action, not literal rising. Gravity doesn't allow that to happen, but a perceived rise on the fastball. And so, you know, DJ Peters, we're watching and we're like, why does he keep swinging under these pitches at the top of the zone? And maybe it's because his brain expects the ball to do one thing that it's done in the minor leagues, and instead it's doing something different, you know, not dropping as much as his brain expects it to. You know, that if we do find out it has to do with spin rate, that would make a lot of sense. Luke Rayly, you know, his big thing seemed to be off-speed pitches. Like he really, really struggled against off-speed pitches. Now, increased spin rate can definitely help your off-speed pitches. Your curveball and slider are going to break more if they have a higher spin rate. So it seems like the spin rate thing might be a logical guess as to why that gap is bigger. And if it is related to spin rate, and if MLB really cracks down on sticky stuff, is there hope for Luke Rayly and DJ Peters? I think there might be. I still don't know that that they are going to be huge contributors to the Dodgers. They do still strike me, maybe not as 4A players, like, you know, 4A, if you're not familiar with the term, a 4A player is a guy who is great in AAA and is lousy in the major leagues, and so he's made for a quadruple A league that doesn't exist. And I don't know, you know, that's what both Rayly and Peters look like in their time in the big leagues this year. They look like 4A players. But if it is related to the spin rate, maybe they're not 4A players. Maybe they're legitimate big leaguers, but maybe not for a team that's planning on winning the World Series like the Dodgers are. But I've always thought, you know, DJ Peters might have some trade value because defensively he's very good. He could be a starting outfielder for a team that doesn't plan on winning the World Series. And I started to doubt that a little bit during his time in the big leagues this year. But you know, if they can close that gap between the minors and the majors, which seems likely if it is related to spin rate and sticky stuff, you know, maybe he is a guy who might at least have some good trade value. Same with Luke Rayly, you know, showing that he can hit in the minor leagues. If they decide that it has to do with the sticky stuff, maybe he's got a little trade value too. Like I said, I don't think either of them are going to be Dodgers long term, at least not big contributors, but maybe there's a little bit of hope for them if they can close that gap. And that was my big thought, listening to what, or reading what Robert had to say, that quote about the big gap. I started thinking, how does it apply to the Dodger players? And that's kind of what I've come up with. You know, I don't have any idea if it is spin rate related and sticky stuff related, but it would make sense to me. And so that's kind of where my brain is starting, and I'm looking forward to looking into it a little bit more. I think that's going to wrap it up for today. A lot happened in that Dodger game, especially for a 5-3 game. Like, it doesn't seem like it would be very action-packed, but a lot went on in there, and obviously a lot of stuff coming up on the Dodgers. They go against Tyler Anderson today at 4 o'clock California time. Tyler Anderson is basically what Tyler Anderson has always been. His ERA this year is 4.67. His career ERA, 4.65. And so he is what he's always been. His FIP is right in line with what, other than his really bad 2019 season, he's basically been the same pitcher every year. And the Dodgers have always done, you know, not as well against him as you might think, because he's not very good. But, you know, the Dodgers have traditionally struggled a little bit against left-handed pitching. And Tyler Anderson throws with his left hand. And so a lot of that, it comes down to that. His career ERA against the Dodgers is 4.69. Oh, right in line with his career too. But some of that came in the last couple of years when he was struggling. So he's 3-6. The Dodgers definitely gotten to him some, and it would be nice to see them keep that up. His first year in 2016, he had a 1.83 ERA against the Dodgers in three starts. They've kind of gotten to him more, especially the last 2 years. They just knocked him around. And so after having his way a little bit with the Dodgers early in his career, they have had their way with him the last couple of years. And hopefully that will continue today. Albert Pujols against a lefty is always a fun thing to watch. So hopefully Dodgers win the series today and then finish the sweep tomorrow. And then after that, as I mentioned earlier, Vince and I will show up on Locker Room immediately after tomorrow's game, midday. The game's at like 9:30 a.m., I think, California time. So by, 12:30 or 1, hopefully, we'll be talking to you on Locker Room. Make a note to be there. Download the app now on your iOS device and follow me at Snydog so that you can be ready for that. And with that, I think that'll wrap it up for today. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet followed or subscribed or whatever you do in your podcast app, go ahead and do that. Tell your friends and family about us. We would love to have more listeners, and we would love to hear from you. Any thoughts you might have, I'd love to hear your thoughts on whether you think that gap between the minor leagues and the majors is bigger than ever, and if so, why you think that might be. So you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperia. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places if you want to reach out. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or text messages is 323-863-LOCK. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, what is the plan for the Steelers at quarterback after Big Ben? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!